But your love, the only thing that matters is your love.
You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm PK. This morning we want to talk to John and Kendra Smiley, and they have successfully raised three boys and now with several grandchildren. I'm thinking that you guys are probably hearing this happen again. It's kind of a recyclable kind of thing about she started, being they're all girls, she started it or she did it or the blame game. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're right, PK. I just got a text the other day from my daughter-in-law. It said, first daughter number two came down and told on daughter number one. That wasn't surprising. But then daughter number three came down and told on herself.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but she said, I made me do it.
That's so fun. Well, boy, if we could learn that as adults, wouldn't that be great?
It would be odd.
It would be taking responsibility for that. Well, and that ties into what you're talking about in this post, too, because it's really talking about a choice, isn't it? When you do something as, well, when our kids do it, what have you learned throughout the blame game with your own boys?
Oh, I learned that when I finally caught on to what they were doing. Now, John was much wiser. I know that surprises you, PK, but he had figured it out already, but I had not, and it was working so well. And one day, it was like the light bulb went off, and I said, No, he didn't make you do it. Now, he may have coerced you. He may have threatened you somehow. You know, they're boys. But the truth is, you did it, and you're responsible. And so that's the thing, I guess, that when it dawned on me, no, we are all responsible for our actions. That made a big difference.
And I think that that's, again, translating into us as adults, too, that we are responsible for our actions. Now, what happened when you caught on, Kendra, and you were saying, now, wait, you chose that. What were their faces like? I can only imagine.
Oh, you got it. You got the picture right there. They looked at me like, oh, come on, Mom. But the jig is up. Mom got it. Oh, no. Now I'm going to have to be responsible. And that's, they were probably pretty sad because it had worked so well.
I think the reason that kids use it all the time, not only does it work, but it works almost instantaneously because a parent can come down and they're ready to give a consequence or whatever or give some information to a child. And the child says, well, it wasn't my fault. It was brother or sister's fault. And instantaneously, in most cases, it stops the parent. And so not only does it work, but it usually works very, very quickly. And so that's another reason kids use it a lot.
So what happens if they continue to try to manipulate that way and just say, well, it's their fault, or they never take that responsibility? How can we teach them?
Well, I think, first of all, one of the things parents have to think about is, oh, my goodness, where did they learn this? I remember trying to blame Sesame Street for everything. You know, surely they're teaching that on Sesame Street, which was the kids' favorite kids' program at that time. But, you know, parents need to take a look at that. You know, yeah, it's working at school. It's working, you know, other places. But are they seeing Mom and Dad? They're probably not listening to the national news, where, of course, they might see it modeled there. But they are watching Mom and Dad. So that's a great place to start.
Right. And I think what happens, PK, to your question is that's exactly, Kendra just alluded to it, that if it works at home, then what a child does is they take it out on the road and they try to make it work at school and they try to make it work out in wherever they're at. And if it continues to work, in their mind anyway, there aren't any consequences for the behaviors, and they can slide away from those things by telling somebody that somebody else made them do it. They continue to use that until finally they reach some point in their life where it doesn't work anymore. And the thing that I think parents need to realize with that is that could be a whole lot more serious than something when they're little that, oh my gosh, you know, I got that toy, my brother or sister made me do it. That's not too drastic, but if as they get older, unless they get into high school and they start making some poor choices and try to deflect the blame, those consequences can get much more serious. And so even though they see that maybe their parents, other people do it, things like we look at politics today, and we see the blame game going on all the time. So they see that a lot, but still we don't want them to get into a position where they have a consequence that is very, very drastic, because they didn't take responsibility for their own own decisions.
Yeah, this is a huge life skill issue, too. And John, as a retired military man, I'm guessing that this doesn't fly for those new guys and gals that are showing up.
Yeah, I think that you learn that very, very, very quickly when you're in basic training, when you first get into the military, that if you try to do something like that, pretty much instantaneously, that is one of those things that is relearned by a military person when they go there, because taking responsibility for actions and helping each other and working as a team and all those type of situations, because in the military you're in a life and death situation, and it definitely brings the seriousness of not taking responsibility for your consequences very much to home.
And this is a great way for our kids, too, I think, thinking long term. So many times when your kids are little, I know for me it was just like, well, we just have to get through today. And then the next day it was like, well, we just have to get through the busyness of tomorrow, you know. But yet it's modeling character and helping them to grow all these different character traits that are going to shape them as they grow into adulthood. How can we keep that in our minds? Because sometimes, like I said, it's just all about the immediate and the tyranny of the urgent kind of things.
I think you exactly hit upon it. How do we do that as parents? We do look long term, and that's a choice that we make. Just like
right.
we were talking about choices with kids, this is a choice that parents make, and it's one of those, the tyranny of the urgent. Kendra and I like to say the days are long, the years are short, and if as parents we can realize that and then in our minds look at raising kids and look at the long term ramifications of our decisions. And that's something that as parents we have to make that choice, because as you said, PK, if we don't say, you know, I'm going to look at this long term and what are the benefits or the ramifications of my decisions with my kids, what happens is exactly what you said. We go day by day, and the next thing we know, we've got kids who aren't making good decisions.
Just yesterday, I had lunch with one of our former youth group kids. She's working on a project for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I'm helping her with it. And she's pregnant, due in, I believe, the first part of May. And we started to talk, and I said, you know what happens so often, because we were laughing about, wow, remember how many, it hasn't been that long ago as a freshman in high school in your youth group. We were talking through those things. And I said, it's so helpful if you realize that the days and the years go really fast. And she said, you know, I've already found myself wishing away this pregnancy. Oh, I just wish this pregnancy was over. And I said, just beware so you're not wishing away, oh, if only this kid would sleep through the night. Oh, if only he'd be potty trained. Oh, if only he'd be back home because he's away at college. You know, those sorts of things, we need to take a look at it and be realistic about how quickly the days go so that we can truly live in them and experience all that God has for us.
Right, and I think one of the reasons why as parents that we do look at on a daily basis is because a lot of times the daily decision seems easier than looking long term and saying, okay, this may be a more difficult decision. It may be more difficult to remedy this situation if I'm looking long term, if I'm trying to understand what's going to happen when this child is 14, 15, and 16, instead of, you know, I just need to take care of this right now. And if I get it taken care of right now, okay, you know, the crisis is averted, that's just fine. Well, it may be fine for that instant, but it's not fine for the long term.
Mm-hmm. Parenting for the long haul. It's not an easy task, and not for the faint-hearted, for sure. I know. I'm talking with John and Kendra Smiley this morning. We're talking about the blame game, and really how can we instill some of these character traits in our kids. Their book is Be the Parent, by the way. We haven't talked about this for a while, but it's 7 choices you can make to raise great kids if you're looking for a valuable resource in raising your kids, maybe even helping out with the grandkids. We'll be back with more in just a moment on Faith Radio Mornings. 7:48, you're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm PK. That's a good word, too, that whenever you're parenting, you are not walking that road alone, even though sometimes it seems to be kind of a lonely road, kind of a frustrating road. But when we're really in this business of trying to build character into our kids and helping them to learn how to shift out of that blame game, this is such a good word to remember that God is with us, too. Talking with John and Kendra Smiley this morning, you guys talk about just, again, how we role models as parents are really so critical. You know, you talk about how behavior is always better caught than taught and those kinds of nice little phrase turns, you know, that we use. But talk about what it's like to be that role model for our kids.
Well, it's very convicting. That's what it's like, BK. Yeah, in fact, interestingly enough, now there are no kids in our home, obviously, at this point. But just this last fall, I experienced, a circumstance where I wasn't doing very well. I was hauling in grain for John. Now I'm speaking totally to folks that understand farming. And I said to him, after I got back from taking a load to the elevator, I said to him, you filled that last load too full. And little did I know, but he had already translated that to, I'd spilled a little and you made me do it. And I realized how easy it is to get out of the habit of not wanting to take responsibility. By the way, he did fill it too full, PK. But, you know, that thing, I wanted to blame him. And with this, I want to tell parents that this is not a call to perfection. Because I even know of some parents who are so concerned that they're, oh, my goodness, I don't know if I'm doing this right. No, you're probably not doing, well, for sure you're not doing everything right. But it's a call, you know, being a role model is, I guess, being conscious of it, of the influence that you have. And then asking the Lord for wisdom. And my favorite thing, I guess, to add to that is praying your kids will give you grace. Because they'll know you're not perfect. They were there the whole time watching those things. So, again, you are modeling, and try to be conscious of not allowing kids to use the blame game and not using it yourself.
Right, and I think as far as parents go, as far as adults go, it's the same kind of situation when we're talking about the blame game and trying to say that somebody else made me do it. And basically what we're trying to get out of is the consequence, whether it be like in Kendra's case, if she came back and said, guys, John, I just spilled some corn on the road. I went around the corner too fast. She takes the chance that I'm going to start yelling at her and say, well, slow down for goodness sake. That was a silly thing to do. Why didn't you know to go slower? And you just wasted some money. And so on and so forth.
That was me crying, by the way. Just
nice.
And does she want to hear that? No, she doesn't want to hear that. And so what we do is we say, okay, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to suffer the consequence for my poor decision. And so I just throw the blame game in there and say, well, it wasn't my fault. It was your fault. And so now, hopefully, you don't get the ramifications or the consequences of your decision. And so with adults, it's exactly, you know, that same kind of feeling that kids have. And they think, oh, my goodness, you know, what are mom and dad going to do? Am I going to get disciplined? Am I going to get grounded? And how can I get out of that? And one of the easy ways is the blame game. And so that feeling that a kid has is kind of the same feeling that adults have. And so as a parent, as you know, look at this, you can just feel it yourself and then realize how important it is that we deal with those decisions that we make and the consequences that follow.
And with that, you can say, well, I understand why you want it to be, you know, Sue's fault, but we need to look at this because you need to take responsibility.
Right, and the one other thing with this is I think it's fine for parents to allow that child to talk. You know, if they're talking about the blame game and what's going on, that they sit down and say, okay, let's talk about this for a little bit, and then they can bring in the fact, you know, don't blame your sister and brother, but, you know, you can talk about the things that led up to it and how those things might be changed. So be a good listener, mom and dad, but don't let them get away with the blame game.
And how about asking for your children's forgiveness when you get it wrong? Because happens. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've even done that long after when I realized that all the kids were grown up, when the youngest one in college, I actually did apologize. I realized I had erred on the side of justice rather than mercy in a particular situation, and it was the best thing that could have happened, PK. As I made that apology, he looked at me and went, oh, Mom, forgave you for that long ago. that would be an example of that mercy. He already knew I needed to apologize.
Right, and I think, PK, what we're looking for, one of the things in our parenting is confidence. And the idea of apologizing when we do make a mistake,
right.
it basically says that you're a confident parent, that you are secure in parenting. Oops, I just messed up, as we all do, as Kendra just mentioned a few minutes ago. None of us are perfect. In our confidence, we can apologize and say, you know what, I messed up. It's only in our insecurity that we don't usually want to do that. So one of the keys that Kendra and I talk about in parenting, in all aspects of parenting, is having confidence. And we get so much of that from God's help, God's wisdom, learning and growing in His grace and His knowledge.
So many times with my kids when they were growing up too, it would be like, well, why do you have to be so mean, or why do you have to be so strict, or why do you have to do this? And I'm like, you know what, God put me in this position as your mom, and I'm just doing the best I can as a mom to just be a godly mom and try and parent you well. And I don't know if that ever meant a thing to them when they were little, but it just really kind of laid out that law again, that God is there and he's established parents for a reason.
Right. And what that did for you when you were saying it, it definitely, I think, helped the kids. But the other thing that it did, it helped you. It helped you to verbalize that and say, you know what, I'm doing this. It gave you confidence just to say that. I'm doing what I believe God has given me to do. This is the responsibility that He's given me. And basically, that is buoying up your confidence, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if they don't like it, I would add, when you're the dad or when you're the mom, you can do it a different way.
And I did use that one several times.
Yeah, so there's ones that just last through the ages.
And then there's always that line my mother used, which I hated: someday you'll have another one just like you, and then you'll understand. That was always very interesting. Well, you guys are talking about being role models too as parents. This is, of course, National Marriage Week. We've got about 3 minutes left here. I thought I would just turn the tables a little bit on you guys too, because you've got a marriage that's lasted a long time. Give us a little history. How did you guys meet? And then what would be your secret to a long-lasting marriage?
Well, we met at the local swimming pool. I was 16 years old, and for the last three summers before then, I had been detasseling corn. Again, we go back to an agricultural example, which those of you that have ever done that know, it is a well-paid, horrible job. Horrible. That summer, I had the option to be take senior life saving and become a lifeguard. And when I went to take the test where you rescue the victim in the pool, one of the victims was this really good-looking young man I had never met before. Turned out his name was John Smiley. He was the younger brother of the man who'd been teaching our life-saving course. Well, he was so cute that I decided to get into his line. Then I realized my girlfriends were all doing the same thing. So I got in his line first, and I used to say at our house, Mom got Dad in a cross-chest carry and just never let go. And that's how we met.
That's awesome. And a very glamorous thing, too, being a lifeguard. That's great.
Well, it beats detasseling corn.
Yeah, that is very glamorous, too. Well, in the last minute, you guys, can you pinpoint a little bit for us? What would you say would be some of the things you've learned as far as maybe one secret for a long marriage?
Yeah, I think that the one secret, the Bible tells us this secret, I think God wants us to know as a marriage, and that's be in a state of growth, of growing spiritually, continually, and growing in knowing your spouse. Getting better acquainted with your spouse is so very important. The Bible says to become one, and that's a growth thing.
That's right. Intimacy. Into-me-see. Not necessarily the intimacy we think of all the time, but into letting that person be a part of who you are.
Letting them in your world a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, that's
every
right.
Every day.
It's good. Well, how many years have you guys been married?
Okay, I was going to let John answer. No.
41 and a half.
Oh, that was good, honey.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, congratulations, you guys.
And the best part is, PK, we like each other. Longevity isn't the whole thing, you know, it really
that's
isn't.
It.
You can hold on by your fingernails for a long time, but really enjoying one another's company and, again, growing spiritually and in a relationship.
Very important keys, being each other's best friend. That's great. Well, thanks, you guys, for joining us today to bring us some wisdom on the blame game and for sharing a little bit of your own story, too. John and Kendra Smiley, my guests this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. Have a great week, you guys.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.